This podcast is brought to you by our friends at Publicity Nation PR, an industry leader in music and entertainment to help entertainers. In addition to media outreach, Publicity Nation specializes in artist development, branding, and commercial projects for artists, entertainers, entrepreneurs, and social influencers. Their drive, dedication, and exemplary work ethic leads to their clients' success. Be seen and be heard by visiting publicitynation.com today.
Young Entertainment Professionals.
You're listening to the Young Entertainment Professionals podcast, a series featuring the next generation of creative and business professionals in music, TV, and film. Hear their stories on navigating the industry with the help of the Young Entertainment Professionals Network.
Welcome, Matt Zahn, to the Young Entertainment Professionals podcast. Everybody, Matt is the director of digital marketing at Morris Heim. And we actually met like maybe it would be like 3 years ago through our first podcast guest, Alexa Simpson. He used to work for Morris Light and Sound production company, which we'll kind of get into later today. But good morning. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Good morning, Libby. How are you?
I'm doing great. So glad to finally have you on the podcast. I know we've been talking about this for a long time and it's finally happening. We're finally doing it. And I feel like just from working with you on, you know, some other like freelance projects and whatnot. So to kick things off, tell us how you got started in entertainment and what led you to pursue a role in music marketing.
Yeah. So, it was interesting. I knew a friend who knew Alexa, Simpson, who was originally the director of marketing at Morris Light and Sound. And, I had moved to Nashville right out of college and was working another marketing position, but I wanted to get into the music industry. It just was always the question I think everybody has is how do I get into the music industry? And so, a mutual friend said that this production company was hiring. I had no idea what a production company even was at that time. I just went to concerts and thought that everything magically happened. And, so the job wasn't posted yet at Morris actually. And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to go for it. So I did, I was a little bit of a stalker and I went through Morris's website until I found Alexa Simpson and her email address. And I just sent her my resume. I said, hey, you know, a mutual friend said that you might be hiring for a position. I'd be incredibly interested in learning more about it, and sent that off. Well, like a week later, I heard back and I was just like, oh my God, this actually worked. Because, you know, you go through the application process and it's just you send application after application and it gets so tiring because you don't hear back or you do hear back and the job's already been filled. And it kind of becomes a discouraging process. And then with Alexa, it was great. You know, she said, hey, sorry, I've been traveling. Would love to bring or give you a call and see how you would fit into this position. But yeah, it was kind of an out of the blue, cross my fingers and hoped that I got a response, and I did.
Yep. And you started out working under her in the marketing department there. Can you share just a little bit about working with Morris, especially with a company that's been around for years, and how to uphold like the tradition of that brand and what it was like, you know, making changes as they came about and what you learned more about that marketing in live production specifically with this team?
Yeah, I think I had a unique experience coming into Morris because I had no idea what Morris was. I moved here from Southern Illinois. You know, the music industry, entertainment was so foreign to me. And so when I came in, I had some experience working in a few different types of industries in the marketing realm. And I came in my first week and just kind of analyzed everything. Obviously, before I came in too, I remember, and I still have it in my notes app on my phone. I had a list of ideas that I made before starting my first day because I was like, what if I could do this that I could bring from this last job? Or what if I can do this? Or how do we do this? And of course, some of these were like reaching for the stars of hoping that one of Morris's artists would do an Instagram live or something, which would never happen. I think it was important to come in with those ideas of kind of grand things that, like I said, may never happen, but at least bring them to the table and see what we could do to shake things up. And one of those things was at the time, Morris hadn't focused on really digital marketing in the social media world. And so I came in kind of guns a-blazing and was asked Alexa a bunch of questions. I was like, so why don't we post, you know, multiple times a week? And why don't we share more of what's going on behind the scenes to get shows ready to go out the door? And she kind of just said, you know, really, we don't have the resources at the moment, meaning there wasn't a marketing coordinator at the time. And I was like, all right, well, let's do it. And so the first thing I did is I came in and, you know, we had different social media handles for each platform, and I changed them and made them the same across the board. And I started posting about five times a week. And our followers just started to grow and grow and grow. And as we watched this, obviously we were looking at the trends. What were we doing that was different than before? What was I analyzing of our competitors, what they weren't doing, and how could we do everything better? And it was just interesting to watch. And the Morris brand, like you said, you know, you ask upholding a brand that's been around for so long. As I was at Morris and I started to learn all of the incredible things that, you know, our owner and founder Dale Morris had done in the music industry, it was very inspiring to just really come in and I guess continue to do the brand justice and elevate it as much as I could.
Yeah, I feel like that's like the perfect phrase of like elevating what was already happening, especially like with Dale's story. Like, you and I worked on a project with them, and I got to hear a little bit more about how his career, you know, came to be, and like how Morris Light and Sound came to be. So maybe in terms of like storytelling with live production, like what were some of those specific things that you wanted to highlight on their feed when you worked for them that was so important in gaining that followership, not only like for people that work in live production, but fans of people like Kenny Chesney, Alabama, et cetera?
Yeah, I think, you know, especially on the social media side of things with the business, where we found that we were making strides was the behind the scenes. People were excited to see the techie people who wanted to know the details of what light is on what show or what audio system is on what show. Showing that behind the scenes of things being put together, we not only gained tech followers, of course, but we did gain fans of some of the artists that just thought it was exciting to see how does the show come to life. You know, like I said at the beginning of this, I used to go to concerts and I never had a single thought cross my mind like, how did this light get there? Or how is the sound so good? And after I started working at Morris, I had such a deep appreciation for these roadies who, you know, put this entire incredible show together. And it's, you know, they like to be behind the scenes. That's why they do what they do. But it's just like, I wanted to show the world, like, this is how everything, it doesn't just magically appear. There's lots of hours and thought and time put into putting an entire show together that's going to be successful on the road for, you know, 12 months or however long the tour is going on. So that was really where we saw a big follower increase. And we definitely were knocking some large competitors out of the realm as far as our marketing presence. You know, Morris Light and Sound we marketed ourselves as a boutique company. We were a boutique audio and lighting company. But people didn't think we were small. And, you know, we definitely did run a small operation. We were doing stadium tours with Kenny Chesney and BTS. And that's the thing, you know, we were able to make ourselves seem a lot larger than what we were.
Yeah. And you just answered my question. I was going to ask kind of like how you marketed a boutique company like that into something that where people were like, oh my gosh, they're becoming where they're like not only taking care of tours with country artists, but also those across all genres. And then obviously you also developed the brand Interrise as well that works with the church community and that space as well. So I want to kind of take a little bit of a detour and talk about the Tracking Room for a second, and kind of how that came into play into the marketing, and maybe a little bit of the different strategy that you took in marketing that part of the Morris brand versus live production.
Yeah, so the Tracking Room is definitely, or it was a different beast to come in, because, you know, I came in and was thinking recording studio. artists are there nonstop. Let's post about that. And obviously the first thing that we all are thinking right now is, you can't post about that. You can't post that, in, you know, so-and-so is in there recording their newest album, because it's a surprise. So I had to like really quickly rein myself in and think of, you know, how do you market this space? Because the Tracking Room, if you know the Tracking Room, it's a beautiful recording studio, and it, the engineering behind that studio is absolutely incredible. So really the route that we took there was marketing the vintage gear, because we had great photos of the gear, we had great photos of the room and the space, and then also just telling the history behind the room. So it was more of the storytelling side of things of, you know, on this day, Shania Twain released the number one selling country music album of all time, Come On Over, and that was recorded in the Tracking Room. So it's kind of going back and telling those stories and things that had gone on in the studio. And even after an album would be released, you know, that was definitely a different beast to handle. And really, you know, it was interesting. It kind of, things like that, I feel like market themselves too. Most people in the music industry knew the Tracking Room from its long-reigning history of being in the city. So it kind of did its own self justice by just being there and existing.
Is there something about like country music that you appreciate even more now after working with them? Not just like the history of like live production, and because I know you mentioned earlier about how like when you started working for Morse, you saw what happened behind the scenes there, but something about country music history that you kind of felt you had a bigger appreciation for while storytelling one of the biggest parts of that side of the industry.
Yeah, I think that I just became a huge country music history geek. You know, working for the Tracking Room and for Morris Light and Sound, it gave me this curiosity to go and do the research on what went on in the Tracking Room prior to me working there and the history behind it. And same with Morris Light and Sound, you know, going into work and asking questions about how is touring different now from the original inception of Morris when they started taking production equipment out with Alabama? So it really just made me curious, I think is the best way to say it, and want to do the research and find the background information on country music. And, you know, Libby, you mentioned earlier that you and I worked on a project together surrounding Dale, and I think that was one of my favorite projects to work on because in that project alone, I learned so much about the company that I was working for. And again, it instilled this sense of pride of, wow, I'm so thankful to be doing what I do and to have the opportunity to work with all of these amazing people and just learn so much on a daily basis. So yeah.
Well, I mean, like that's, I feel like that's a lucky job to have when you're able to also develop like a learning side to what you do. Like, obviously you go to work every day and you have like your to-do list and projects you need to accomplish, but to take that home and be like, oh, I get to like learn more, almost gaining that love more for the industry. Like that's really rare to find in a job.
Are you a professional working in the country music industry? It's time to renew your membership to the Academy of Country Music. Not yet a member? Now's the time to join. Academy members are among the most respected leaders in the industry and hold the right to vote on ACM awards. They also receive exclusive benefits, including monthly educational panels and invites to networking events, early access to tickets for Academy events, discounts for ACM partner events, regular industry data and insights, and more. Interested in applying for membership or need to renew your membership? Visit acmcountry.com/membership. Again, that's acmcountry.com/membership. All applications and renewals are due by October 15th, so don't delay.
I want to hear more about your working relationship with Alexa and like what is so important about having a director in marketing where it's like it works well, like how much that has meant to you in your career.
Yeah, you know, I brag on Alexa a lot, and because she was a pivotal moment in my career. And it's interesting. I was listening to Alexa's podcast the other day, you know, just prepping myself for this. And our
episode
story,
one, everybody, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, episode one. Our story is kind of very similar, which is interesting. And I think it shows a lot about the culture at Morris. And it's truly, you know, Alexa came in an entry position role. I came in as an entry position role, not at the same time, everybody. She came in long before me. But then she quickly, after a year, I believe, she became the director of marketing because her boss moved on to another job. And so when I came in to work under Alexa, she gave me, similar to her boss, she gave me the freedom to do what I thought was right. And she let me just jump in, dive into the deep end, and just kind of take everything on and come up with creative ideas and things that we haven't done before. She never put me down for any of my thoughts either. You know, as crazy as they could have been of hoping something could happen, she never made me feel like I was crazy for coming up with that idea. She's like, that's amazing. But, you know, the reality of something like this happening isn't, but we can think about this in a different way. How can you come up with an idea, I guess, and then change it and down a different path if the first path doesn't work? But she really gave me creative liberty and freedom. And we worked so well together. She definitely grew me into the professional I am today. She helped me develop a lot of my skills that I had that weren't fully developed yet. And I mean, they're still not fully developed. I'll be learning for years and years to come, but she helped me grow into this, the person that I am today in the professional world, and just really encouraged me to continue to learn and ask questions. No question is a bad question. That's something that I still ask to this day at my current job. And you know, I'm asking questions is never a bad thing, and nobody should ever feel bad about having to ask questions. I think even if you've been at your job for 30 years, you shouldn't feel bad about having to ask a question every now and then.
And I think it also creates that level of trust too with your team, of like you're constantly learning how you can continually get better at your role to make their roles easier and vice versa. So talk more about your current role right now as Director of Digital Marketing at Morris Heim. And how that came to be, and you know what you're learning within. I guess, well, it's fairly new, so
it is.
Congrats!
Thank you. We're 1 week in. Once I got into Morris Light and Sound, and I learned about these different businesses that Dale had, and that were part of the company, I was fascinated with it because I was like, artist management. This has got to be incredibly interesting, a lot of fun, and. I was always thought like, you know, well, maybe one day I'll be able to make my way over there or at any artist management company. Cause obviously I wanted to continue to progress my career and further into the industry. But, I just thought, oh, how cool would it be if I could work there? And obviously that was kind of just a dream. I was like, well, that's never gonna happen. so in, this past year, Morris Light and Sound actually sold to an audiovisual company, Solotech, and they're a global company. They operate in three different countries. And so my time there had kind of gone from my original role to working as acting as the head of marketing for the United States, kind of transitioning the brands over, the Morris brands. And so I decided after about 6 months or a few months into it that, you know, this is kind of my time. You know, it was a good way to close my story with Morris and my time in the production industry. And this is where I needed to push myself to try something new. And I reached out to Clint Hyam, and we kind of just started talking, and I just told him I was looking and interested, and I didn't think anything would come of it. You know, Clint is an amazing person. If anybody that's listening to this has had a chance to meet him, he's such a great guy. He's always willing to give someone a chance. And he took a chance on me. And so I'm now, like you said, the director of digital marketing over there. And I work with an amazing team of people. And it's, again, it's, I have such a sense of pride for working on another side of the Morris side of things. And also with, you know, Clint being a partner in the business. It's just such a, it's nice to take the pride that I had before and transfer it into this. But yeah, so like, and over at Morris Higham, it's a great team of people. It's actually kind of interesting. The least tenured person by like 4 years, I think. And that, again, is such a testament to the culture that Clint and Dale have built at that company. And it's just amazing. Everybody there is so friendly. They were so welcoming on my first day. And I knew a few of them prior to coming in. But I've never felt more like instantly part of a family than I did when I walked in on my very first day. And again, immediately, they threw me right into the deep end. And I think, and this is actually a direct quote from Alexa's episode, being thrown into it is like the best way to learn, I think, most of the time. You know, it's, you, of course, like you need some guidance and some helping hands along the way for that first few weeks. But being thrown into it and being given the opportunity to just go with it and see, you know, what can you do? What are you capable of? Where are the areas that you need help? Because I think when you, again, I'm saying the exact same thing I just said, but when you get thrown right into it, you is where you can find the holes or the gaps of where do I need to ask questions rather than just making a list of questions and saying, you know, how do I do this? You know, you have to kind of figure out where do I actually need help and where can I figure things out on my own before I need to ask a question. And again, I'm a huge advocate for asking questions, but I think the right questions are important to ask, you know?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I think like with the music industry and entertainment, you kind of have to start with action first and figure out, because I feel like every situation, every concert, every event, I mean, every interview, like it's they're all different. So it's like you can only do so much planning, so much research, especially with marketing, which I want to talk about in just a minute. But you kind of have to be, I mean, this sounds like I'm using a word that everyone uses on their resume, but like being able to adapt.
No, but
to kind of just and figure it out, you know, like while you're doing the job. Talk more about marketing and why you love, you know, like why you went after a career and specifically marketing.
Yeah, you know, that's a funny question. So when I went to school, I first went to school for business admin. And I'm going to tell you a story here and you can either use this or not. But I think this is sometimes an important story for people to hear. So I went to school for business marketing or business administration originally, and I couldn't get macroeconomics. I couldn't get any of these business admin classes. And I just felt, I was so like down about myself after that. Cause I was just like, what did I do? I've never done this before. I've never, you know, I can't tell you, I never got an F in a full class in my life. And I was talking to a friend and she was like, well, maybe you need to try public relations. You know, that just seems like you talk to everybody. You are very personable, and she's like, you're techie, so you can go into the marketing side of things and a minor. I was like, okay, well, I'll try it. And so I took summer school classes. So obviously at this point, I'm a semester behind. I have to catch up. So I took summer school classes in public relations, and I instantly fell in love with public relations. Like it was the click that I needed. And there on out, it was a breeze, but I had to work my tail off to get through, to catch up. I still graduated in 4 years, but I took summer school classes. And then there was a 6 week Christmas break course that you could take that counted as a full credit. So I went year round essentially for the next 3.5 years. I mean, thank you. I definitely wanted to get out of there because I knew I wanted to work. And I've always been a real life, I thrive in real life situations. I've never been the best test taker or anything. I've always thrived in real life situations. And so once I found that was my niche, I just kind of fell in love with it. And I was obviously, since I majored in public relations, I was more heavy on the writing side. Then I got offered this job with the university that I went to work in their marketing department. My last year of school, I got to work on video shoots. I got to work on radio advertisements, billboard advertisements. And I was just like, yeah, this is it. I mean, I had no doubt before, that was it. And again, with my boss there, she gave me the creative liberty to kind of go with things on social media. That was kind of the time when, I don't know if we all remember, like, BuzzFeed articles started to come out when university accounts were, like, roasting students when they'd, like, tweet at the university and complain about, like, not getting a snow day or something. And before...
We had a couple, like, Twitter accounts that were, like, I'd still to this day... There was one, actually, I went to Belmont like everyone else here and went walking yesterday and ran into, well, I didn't run into it. It was there, so we used to have this Twitter account called the Campus Cat. And there was literally a cat just sitting on the sidewalk. And I literally crossed my mind of like, is this the new Campus Cat? And it just reminded me of all these crazy accounts that were either made by students or former students that no one knew, but everyone loved them because it was like roasting whatever was happening on campus.
Yeah. And so from the university account, like my, and not that like I roast people, but like, you know, people, we'd get like a half of inch of snow. There's snow. Why did we get a snow day? And so like, I just got on Giphy and I just started sending gifts back to like these people from the university account and people loved it. I mean, it was hilarious. I don't know, like I said, from there, I just found my love of marketing and especially social media and digital marketing. It was really cool that last year of school to work on projects for a university that had students from every state in the United States and international students. I mean, it was a large university for that area, and it was being able to watch projects come to life that you worked on. I think that's the most satisfying thing to anybody who works in marketing. When you work so hard and you put so much energy and care into a project and then you see it come to life and you see the billboard that you strategized over and helped design and you're just like, yeah, I did that.
That was me. That was my idea. What are you most excited about with this new role and working with artists specifically? So working on that side of what they need, on communicating with their fans and just with an agency.
Yeah. You know,
it's in the Moores family.
Some of the things I'm most excited about this new role is, working with the artists to continue to grow, obviously all of their social media platforms, and TikTok is the latest and greatest newest platform that I think that we all said a few years ago when it came out after Vine got shut down, we're all like, oh no, I'm not going to download TikTok. I'm a Vine for life. If I could still get on Vine. And then of course we all end up on TikTok, which is funny because I feel like that's how every single social media platform that's come out in the past 15 years, that's what we've done. We said, no, I'm not going to get Twitter. Now we're all on Twitter. Yeah.
I have one, but I rarely use it, to be honest.
Yeah, same. But so it's just interesting to like work with these artists because each one of them, they're different. And you have to learn their personality, who they are. And the other night, I had an amazing opportunity to sit down with one of our artists, like an hour and a half, and we just talked about life. So you just see this other side of like, you know, I'm no longer marketing an inanimate object. So I'm not marketing a light anymore or a speaker system. I'm working with a human to grow their brand. And it's a lot of fun because you can do so many things with it. And again, just learning their personality and who they are and how they want to portray that to their fans. It's really exciting to work with them on that and brainstorm ideas. And there's so many other things involved in this job that are, I never thought that I'd be involved in my life. And I truly think of it as such a blessing. And, you know, I say, I've said this a million times that I'm just so fortunate and grateful for this opportunity. I can't say that enough. You know, this is a dream job for people. And especially for me, this is a dream job. And so for Clint to give me this chance and for his team to give me this chance to work with them and with their artists, I'm forever grateful for this opportunity.
Well, I'm super excited for you because I feel like I've been along the ride as a friend to watch you, you know, take your next step in your career. So cheers to that. It's early in the morning.
Yeah,
so
we're doing, I said cheers right to now, coffee. But,
and I just can't wait to see what the next couple months and the next few years are gonna hold for you. So Congrats on that. I want to close out with one question, asking you about what's a favorite artist trend that you've seen on social media recently or in the past that you, or maybe a campaign that you're like, oh, that was really smart of them to do that. Or that's really interesting and unique and sets them apart. Like, do you have a favorite that sticks out?
One of our artists, Ryan Griffin, he released a song, Salt, Lime, and Tequila, which I'm going to plug that for everybody here to go listen to Salt, Lime, and Tequila, because it's a great song and a good way to end the summer. But he was in his car driving with his dad, and he made a video of playing the song for his dad for the first time. And it got like 3 or 4 million views or something on TikTok. And it blew up, and you know, people started making dances for the song, it became kind of like a theme song for people's summers. So I think the power of TikTok again is where we're seeing the trends be created now. And I'm just really excited to work with him more in depth and our other artists that I'm working with to continue to come up with these new ideas and, continuing to scroll on TikTok through all hours of the night.
Continue to scroll.
So I can come up with new trends.
And be like, that was Matt. That was Matt's idea. Go, Matt.
Not all my ideas. Yeah, go more time. Yeah, it's 100%. Yeah, it's 100% a team effort. And I think that's, again, just to maybe close out that question too, again, I've already said this, but it's such a great team over there. Everybody's incredibly creative. And that's so important to be around in a work environment, is surrounded by kind and caring people who are also just amazing at their jobs. Mm-hmm. And everybody in that office is absolutely amazing. And I'm so grateful, and it's an honor to work there and to work with our artists.
Well, it was an honor to have you on the Yet podcast to share more about it. And very excited again for you on this new role. You can go check out More Time Management's profile on Instagram, everywhere, see what all their artists are up to. Matt, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, and hope you have a great week.
Thank you, Libby. I hope you have a great week as well, and I will talk to you soon.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Young Entertainment Professionals Podcast. To get connected, visit yepnashville.com and follow Yep Nashville and Yep Los Angeles on social media. I'm your host, Libby Ulrich, and until next time, discover, cultivate, accelerate.